Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. A bill to fund permanent fund dividends of roughly $3,000 failed narrowly in the state Senate today. Supporters say the state should follow the formula set in a 1982 state law. Opponents supported a lower amount, saying the bill requires reckless reductions to state savings and services. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
The Senate started off with a bill that would provide for a $1,600 dividend, but supporters of larger PFDs successfully amended the bill to raise it to the full amount under the law the state followed until 3 years ago. Anchorage Republican Senator Mia Costello supported the larger dividend. She was part of a Senate majority that voted to reduce dividends the past 2 years.
Today on this floor, we have a chance to restore public trust that has been broken. I support a full dividend until the statute is changed.
Both Costello and Anchorage Democratic Senator Bill Willikowski quoted Jay Hammond, the governor who signed the dividend law. The quote Willikowski chose says dividend cuts are a form of regressive taxation.
Of all the possible taxes, the dividend tax is far the most aggressive, unfair, and economically imprudent. Children and other Alaskans with only permanent fund dividend income would pay the same amount as millionaires. Non-residents would pay nothing.
The bill would require an additional $1.3 billion in combined cuts to state spending and savings. Senator Jesse Keel of Juneau was the only Democrat to oppose the higher amount. He says cuts to services like those proposed by Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy would hurt vulnerable Alaskans more than lower dividends.
The only thing I can think of that is more regressive is cutting Medicaid to working families, or cutting off opportunities for children in poor families through cuts to K-12, through cuts to the university.
But Eagle River Republican Senator Laura Reinbold used strong language to warn against lowering PFDs.
We will be lawbreakers. We'll be taking $1,400 out of every single Alaskan's pockets. I want to remind people that PFD theft is a C felony.
Legislators have expressed concern that the legislature will repeat whatever action it takes this year in the next session. If a draw required for a full dividend is made both this year and next year, roughly 4% of the combined amount of the permanent fund and fund earnings could be eliminated. It could also cut the fund's annual growth by more than $150 million. Fairbanks Republican Senator Click Bishop made a fiery speech opposing the full dividend. He says it would put the state on a path to spending the $19 billion in permanent fund earnings in the same way it spent $12 billion in another reserve account.
Furthermore, I want to make sure the people of Alaska get a dividend for now and into the future, and I ain't going to be part and parcel of walking through $19 billion.
Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman introduced the bill with the $1,600 PFD. He voted against it with the higher amount. He says he compromised on cutting the Alaska Marine Highway System budget, but the higher dividend would hurt coastal communities by putting pressure to eliminate the ferries.
How do you stand before the Senate, say we're going to pay a $3,000 dividend and we're going to take away your transportation system? We're going to sell it because we don't like the expenses of it. And by the way, here's $3,000. Go get a canoe.
Dunleavy says the legislature should pass a full dividend and the state budget. He says any change to the dividend formula should go to a vote of the people.
If folks want to change the statutes or believe that the statutes should be changed, they should engage the people of Alaska. And I think we have plenty of time to do that this summer and fall.
Dunleavy says he wants the budget to be smaller and believes the state can balance the budget in 2 years. The Senate could take back its vote against the bill as soon as Friday. That's when Wasilla Republican Senator Mike Schauer, who was absent due to his work as a pilot, will be back in Juneau. Schauer supports the full dividend. If the Senate passes the full PFD, it's not clear what the House would do. The House majority formed with a goal of not spending down state savings. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
A University of Alaska-formed task force will look at options for restructuring the UA system. Board of Regents voted last month to form the task force, and Regents Chair John Davies has appointed 11 Alaskans to the group charged with considering at least four restructure options, including the status quo. The task force, which will hold public meetings around the state, has to get a final report to Regents by November. Juneau Assembly passed the city's $379 million operating budget last night with little debate, outside of a decision to keep the same mill rate from last year. The budget maintains the same level of services and operations from the previous year, but the Alaska Legislature's ongoing special session leaves several things up in the air. If the state's final budget does not reimburse municipalities for school bond debt, Juneau will owe $7.1 million this year. Governor Mike Dunleavy proposed eliminating the program entirely, which would amount to $23 million in costs for Juneau over the next several years. City officials have said that if the reimbursement program ends, Juneau residents can expect to see local property taxes increase up to 14% over the next several years. That's part of why the Assembly voted to keep the mill rate the same as last year, effectively raising the property tax rate since property assessments went up this year by about 1% overall. As a result, the city projects collecting nearly $500,000 in additional property tax revenue. Assemblymember Mary Becker proposed an amendment lowering the mill rate in order to keep property taxes relatively stable from last year. She argued the city should do what it can to reduce Juneau's cost of living burden for residents.
I just feel that we should do this for the public. We should do it for the people who are having a hard time.
Assemblymember Carol Treem said the city's healthy financial situation is not enough assurance given shifting costs from the state.
It's not sustainable, so I don't think that we can tout our strong savings account on one hand and then deplete it and not have a plan to replenish it on the other.
Becker's amendment narrowly failed 4-4 with one assembly member absent. Depending on how things progress at the Capitol, the assembly may have to revisit the budget in July. Constantine Metal Resources has released the results of a preliminary economic assessment of the Palmer Project, a controversial mineral exploration project near Klukwan and Haines. The assessment is a tool for investors that outlines the economic potential for mine and the logistics of mine development. KHNS's Henry Leisha reports.
Canadian mineral company Constantine Metal Resources has been exploring minerals at the Palmer Project for over a decade. The main mineral deposits that have been discovered contain copper, zinc, gold, silver, and barite. Now the company has completed its first economic assessment of the site. Constantine Vice President of External Affairs, Liz Cornejo, says the document will be shared with investors in hopes of securing funding to develop a mine.
Yeah, so with the PEA, some of the important numbers that people look for with these assessments is really how much is it going to cost to construct the mine, how much does it cost to operate the mine.
The PEA estimates that the project will require $418 million in funding over the entire life of the mine, from pre-production to closure. The estimated net profit over the lifetime of the project is $266 million. Cornejo says that in addition to economic information, the PEA also helps people understand how the mine would operate.
We can answer some of those questions that people have had and use it in our discussions as far as assessing, well, what might a mine here look like? How big would it be? How long would it operate? How many people might be involved? And they may change as we go into a final mine proposal, but at least gives us a framework to start with.
According to the PEA, Constantine expects a mine at the Palmer Project would operate for 11 years and provide a total of 260 full-time jobs. In terms of scale, the mine would produce 3,500 metric tons of ore concentrates each day.
The material comes out of the mountain, goes through the mill, gets ground up, it gets sorted into different products, and then would then be trucked into Haines. And currently, there's not an ore terminal for loading, so we would be shuttling it over to Skagway for loading and shipping out to the buyers.
That was Henry Leisha reporting in Haines. An Alaska program that uses music by state artists as background songs for callers on hold has cut down its playlist. Juneau Empire reported Saturday that some musicians were surprised to see their songs cut from the Alaska Music on Hold project's playlist. The project to replace hold music for state office lines was announced in November, but paused shortly afterward after officials say members of the public raised concerns about some songs. When the state announced the program's return May 17th, a pair of songs were replaced. Flicker of Light by Whiskey Class and Mother Carries by Harm are no longer among the hold music songs. A quick disclosure, KTOO contributed creative and technical support to the project. Here's Homer Bluegrass Band Burnt Down House performing Weary Bones as part of KTOO's Red Carpet Concert Series. The five-piece bluegrass band visited Juneau during the 2019 Alaska Folk Festival. This was recorded in collaboration with Justin Smith of Rusty Recordings in Gustavus. Video is part of our Red Carpet Concert Series, an ongoing music video project by KTOO Public Media. And that's the KTOO News Update for Tuesday, June 4th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea.